Anybody know where that's at?
Page 727.
All right.
Right after
you carrying a Schofield? All right, Ecclesiastes chapter 2. Ecclesiastes chapter 2. Are you living or just alive? Or as the sign said, hang on, because I forget. I've got it right here, though. It gets approval. Are you truly living or merely breathing? Actually, I like that title better. But, so Ecclesiastes chapter 2, let's all stand, reverence to God's Word. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, if you can stand, if you can't, you can still reverence God's Word and sit down. Lord knows. Verse 4, no, we can't do that. Verse 1, I said in my heart, go to now, I will prove thee. With mirth, that's the word, means joy. Therefore, enjoy pleasure, and behold, this also is vanity. I said of laughter, it is mad, and of mirth, what doeth it? I sought in mine heart to give myself unto wine, yet acquainting mine heart with wisdom, and to lay hold on folly, till I might see what was that good for the sons of men, which they should do under the heaven all the days of their life. I made me great works. I builded me houses. I planted me vineyards. I made me gardens and orchards. And I planted trees in them of all kind of fruits. I made me pools of water, to water therewith the wood that bringeth forth trees. I got me servants and maidens, and had servants born in my house. Also, I had great possession of great and small cattle above all that were in Jerusalem before me. I gathered me also silver and gold, and the peculiar treasure of kings and of the provinces. I got me men singers and women singers, and the delights of the sons of men as musical instruments, and that of all sorts. So I was great and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me, and whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and in this was my portion of all my labor. Then I looked, and on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. Let's bow. Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, Lord God, I thank you for the blessings you give us. I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity we have to come to your house and to worship and sing praise. And now, Lord, to hear your word. And Lord, I ask, Lord, that you would open our hearts and minds to it. Give us understanding. Anyone in the sound of my voice, that if they realize that they don't have the Lord as their Savior, that they're not 100% sure they go to heaven, that today they would be sweetly saved, and we thank you for that. I ask, Lord, that you would reach down, Lord, and help me, Lord, as I bring your word, that I would help those that are able to hear it and understand it. And Lord, I have failed you so many times, but Lord, I know that you never fail me. And Lord, I thank you. I ask you to lay on my heart and tongue the words you would have me to say. Hide me behind thy cross. It's not about me. It is about Jesus. And in his name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Living or just alive. We see so many folks today They have a lot of things. They got toys. They got homes, fancy cars, lots of vacations. You could go on and on and on. And usually our reaction to this is, wow, they've got it good. Boy, they're really living it up. They got the good life. And, you know, how many in here would like to have all your bills paid off? Just period. And then just have a bank account that you ain't even got to look at the amount of it. You just go and do kind of what you want to do. That'd be kind of nice. You know, there are people that live that way. And, yeah, there's all kinds of books. There's all kinds of programs, ideas that folk, now get this, they will sell you. And it's all on how to live so that you can live like no one else. How to live so you ain't got to worry about it later. But the funny thing is they sell you this book and tell you, now don't spend money on things you ought not to. When 90% of what they're telling you is common sense anyway. You know, I mean, seriously, it is. It's stuff that your grandparents or great-grandparents had to do. And we just got to the point we don't do it. Now, Solomon, as we read, he had plenty of money. Solomon had plenty of pleasure. He had lots of culture. You know, I'm not a... In one part of my life, I was so cultured out, it's like... People go to these, what do they call them things? Opera. Is it? You need culture. Listen, if I need that kind of culture, I don't need culture. he had culture. He had fame. I'm not interested in fame. I like walking down the street and nobody gives a rip who I am. I really do. I used to think I wanted to be one of these super famous people. You know, playing guitar in front of 90,000 people but then when you look at their lifestyle, they can't even go to, whenever they go out, they got to put a hat on and dark glasses and they got to dress like a bum or something. So won't nobody realize who they are? Because if they do, it's, you know, but you see, Solomon had all of it. Yet he admitted, though, in what we just read, that these things didn't satisfy, nor do they last. When he said vanity, that's really, it's emptiness. All of that stuff is empty. All of what we think we gotta have is all empty. But yet a person, people today, including people that we all know, they'll set aside everything that matters, everything that's important to them, to what the world offers so they can have it. They set aside God. They set aside their spouse. They set aside their children, grandchildren, their friends, their relatives. They have set aside even their own self to get it all. And then they'll spend all their life trying to keep it. You know, it don't sound real smart. Jesus said in Luke, let's go to Luke. Luke chapter 12. Most of you probably know where we're going to go. Luke chapter 12 and verse 13. This is what Jesus said. Verse 13, a guy comes to him. It says, one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother, that he divide the inheritance with me. In other words, this man, no doubt his parents had died, and he's going to get an inheritance. I'd like to have Elon Musk's inheritance. Just a fourth of it would be fine. I don't even need all of it, no. But that's what took place. And Jesus said, man, Who made me a judge or a divider over you? I ain't your judge. I ain't your divider. And then he tells him, he said, take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. In other words, what you have, and what you have, hopefully, and you, and even Brother Jerry, I don't know about saying. Even Brother Kyle, what you have in your heart, hopefully is more important than anything this world can ask for. I mean, really. Now, this is what he says, though. He goes into it, he speaks them, he likes to give them parables. Parables are earthly stories, but a parable has a heavenly meaning. In other words, it's a story that you can get because we live here. If he told a parable about heaven, you wouldn't get it. You ain't been there. We're all going to go there one day if we know the Lord Jesus is our Savior. But we hadn't been there yet. So he tells us of something that we can do. And I ain't going to read all this. This guy built this house. And if you'll notice in this parable, get a chance to read it, it's a lot of I in there. I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. He had lots of land. He was doing pretty good. And man, the Lord had blessed. Lots of rain had come down. And everything was growing. Everything was going good. And he says, oh, I got a problem. I ain't got room to store it all. Oh, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to tear all of this stuff down, and I'm going to build brand new stuff, because it's a good tax write-off. And I'm going to do all, and then I'll have plenty of room to store it all, and then I'm going to just sit back on my hind end, and I ain't going to do nothing. I'm just eat, drink, and be merry, and I ain't going to Utah. And I'm just going to live it up. I've got it made. I ain't worried about it. Everything. Cool. And the Lord said, thou fool. Amen. Now, we would not look at him as a earthly. People don't look at Jeff Bezos. I like to help him out. Poor guy. I don't know how he gets by. If you want it, Amazon's got it. I got to hand it to him. He done well. And I don't hold it against him, okay? I'm a believer in, listen, if you can make the money, go for it. You know, don't hurt nobody in the process, but if you can make it, go for it. There ain't nothing wrong with what Jeff Bezos did. Nothing wrong with what Elon Musk did. Elon Musk even told him, my electric car was not to replace fossil fuels, idiots. He said it was to give you an alternative if you don't want to drive one that burns gas. What did they decide to do? They've even decided they're going to, in brand new homes now in New York State, you cannot put a gas stove in there. When that happens, and they have one of their good winters, how many of them are going to haul off in body bags? Because they, anyway. Oh, we've got to save the earth. Read in Genesis chapter 8. It says, as long as the earth exists, as long, in other words, until the Lord destroys it, we're going to have four seasons. Now, I will admit, some of them might get a little shorter. Some of them might get a little hotter. Some of them might get a little greener. Some of them might get a little colder. But it's going to be here. Poor old AOC. All the world's coming to an end. And the Greta thing, little witch over there in Europe, she got serious problems. Well, her biggest problem is her mom and dad didn't tear her butt up. But all that, she's had to backpedal now because the world ain't coming to an end like she said it was. You know, she's just a brat. But anyway, you notice he said, all is I, and the Lord said, thou fool. He said, to this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? Who's it all going to belong to then? Now, the Lord said in verse 22, well, verse 21, so is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. We can go to school and get all the education that you can possibly get. You can become as good on a guitar as B.B. King. But you ain't taking the guitar with you. When it's all said and done, you're not taking it to heaven and you ain't taking it to hell. But what you've laid up in heaven, well, that's a different story. We worry about what we're going to do. The Bible says, therefore, Jesus said, therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither the body, what you're going to put on it. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens. I like to consider the grackles. We got a lot of grackles. I like them grackles. Consider them. They don't sow or reap. Neither do they have storehouses. They don't have barns, but God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls of the air? You think God thinks you're better than the fowls of the air? What do you think? Yeah, you're special. Not in a special way, but you're special. You don't ride the short bus. You're special in God's eyes. We're all special. If we're a child of God, we are special in His eyes. Listen, He's going to take care of us. Ain't none of us in here starving. I've had to starve the last few days so I could drop 2 or 3 pounds, but man, it's hard to lose weight. The pain. I just keep going, And the dropping ain't going back where it was. You know, he says here, which of us taking thought can make yourself taller? Kaylani, you need to be taller. Can you make yourself taller? Yeah, you can put on high heels. That'd be about it. You can't grow no extra feet or any length to your leg. You can't do it. Yet we, anyway. If ye be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. I would have liked to have seen what his group of, his parades and all that would have looked like. It would have been unreal. I can imagine what Solomon, they came from miles and miles around to see Solomon. But yet the lilies are more beautiful than he is. And the if you travel, most everybody, we've elected to start doing more road. I like road. You go by fields and it's just huge fields of beautiful flowers. The Texas bluebonnet, one of my favorites. They grow them all in the highways there in Texas. And I liked them so much because I would leave Colorado and there'd be 3 foot of snow on the ground. But I'd go down there and it's 70 degrees. It's like, yeah, this is nice. Flowers blooming, but I liked them. I even tried to grow me some, didn't work. But anyway, I just like them. And then he says, if then God so clothes the grass, which is today in the field and tomorrow it's cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. Rather, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. You see, people that go through this world, and I don't think anybody here this morning, maybe, from what I can see, they go through this world gathering up all they can gather. Got to live super good. Now, I ain't got a problem with having nice homes, having nice vehicles, wearing nice clothes. I don't have a problem with that. But when we go over and beyond to do that, we put everything of any importance to the side to have all of that, there's a problem. Because somewhere up there it says, oh, there it is, the very first one. Thou shalt not have other gods before me. That's what happens. Job becomes your God. Clothing becomes your God. Here, I'll pick on the young girls because they all like to do this other than I'm going to start carrying around. All of those that raise, all of you young girls that play a guitar, raise your hand. Come on, get them up. There's 1, 2, 3. Well, you're first. Oh, and Jesse Sudo, she's playing guitar now. I'm going to carry around nail clippers. And when I see your nails longer than mine, I'm going to cut them off on your left hand. I don't care. You can grow them that long on your right hand. But these are coming off. You can't play guitar and make it sound good with long nails. I finally threatened one last night, Kaylani, and she bit them off. She didn't want me trimming them. If you're going to... All right, I ain't sure what that had to do with the message. It's the vanity of all of this junk. Amen. When we put all of this junk ahead of God and ahead of... let me ask you a question. Is guitar talent? If you're going to use it for the Lord, then you want it to sound decent for the Lord. Amen. That we ought to be wanting to sound decent for the Lord. So you fix what causes it not to sound decent. Because it sounds better when it goes boing instead of boom. Same way with pianos. Diane, she don't... Well, other than Roger tried to cut her finger off. But she plays the piano. She likes it to sound good. It's got to sound good. Yeah. We're doing it for the Lord. Amy. Oh, I forgot. Amy is playing guitar. Actually, she's picking up pretty quick. And I showed her something the other day, and I said, now do this. I said, it sounds better. Make sure your fingers are in the proper frets. Because we want it to sound nice. When we dress to go to church, don't put on what you pick up dog mess in the backyard. Put on something decent. If it's got holes in it, fine, iron it. They make what they call an iron. Anyway, we ought to be giving our best to the Lord. We ought to be seeking what the Lord wants in our life and not putting all this other stuff ahead of God. We shouldn't put our families ahead of all this other junk. We should not. My wife ought to be more important than me going out and making a fortune. She ought to be more important than all of that stuff. But she can't be more important than the Lord Jesus Christ. If she does, I'm in trouble. And we might get into that tonight when we talk about the will of God, part two. All right, I'm going to go on. The world in which we live. The world in the nation, I'll say, but you can add the world in there, in which we are living here's a news flash. It ain't gonna get no better. It's not. It's not gonna get any better. Now, I will say it can slow down, but it ain't gonna get no better. It's never gonna go back to the days when I was a kid. Brother Tony, I hate to break your heart, but it ain't going back to those days. My grandchildren will not be in the same world that I lived in. They're not going to have the same freedoms that I had. They're not going to have the same peace and the same joy that I had in that world, not in just living out here. It's not going to go back. All right. Living or just alive? Go to Genesis. That's the front of the Bible. Very first book you come to. And we're going to go to chapter 4. And I ain't going to read all that. There's a lot to read. I'm going to read some of it. We're going to do chapter 4 and chapter 5. Now, verse 1 of chapter 4. Now you listen to what's going on here. And Adam and Eve knew Adam knew Eve, his wife. And she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. Now I'm going to just be honest with you. They're probably twins. I don't know that, but I'm going to say they probably were. Now, Abel was a keeper of sheep. Cain was a tiller of the ground. I'm not going to get into all that. Abel offered a much greater sacrifice than what Cain did. It was from his heart, not from, look at me, look what I did. And it was shed blood, and they knew that. They understood that the sacrifice had to be that. But now Cain, as we all know, he got jealous over that, and he raised up, and he slew his brother Abel. I don't know if he hit him with a club, hit him with a rock, strangled him to death, but he killed him. Now, Cain is no longer going to get married. Cain is no longer going to bear, his wife is not going to bear children. He's dead and gone, Abel. Abel's dead and gone. He's not going to get married. He's not going to have a wife or bear any children. There was two people born, Cain and Abel. That was going to be the people of the world. So Cain killed his brother Abel. Cain got a rotten attitude. I'm going to say he knew about God. Adam and Eve had to have taught him. They probably told him all about it. I used to live in the Garden of Eden. Oh, it was so good, and then we messed up. Don't go out and mess up. What's the first thing he did? Lord said, sin lies at the door. What you going to do with it? It wasn't forced on him. It was going, hello, hello. And he opened the door. And the sin told him, kill your brother. And he did. But now, look what it says, verse 4, and chapter 4, verse 20. We're going to go way over now. Oh, well, 16. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod, east of Eden, and Cain knew his wife. And then they started having kids, all right? Enoch, verse 17, one of his children. He built a city. Then it said unto Enoch, came a dude named Mahael, and he begat Methuselah, who his wife had Lamech. Lamech took unto him two wives. He wasn't a wise man. He had two wives. The name of one was Ada, and the name of the other one was Zillah. Now, verse 20. Adar bare Jabal, and he was the father of such that dwell in tents, and they had cattle. And his brother's name was Jubal, And Jubal handled the harp and the organ, you know, the, and then it, you know, the funeral music. And then Zillah, she done had some kids, and she named one Tubal-Cain. And he was an instructor and artificer in brass and iron. And the sister of Tubal-Cain was Naamah. And Lamech said unto his wives, well, we won't go down there. Now, these guys, they all did some special things. I take it if it wasn't for the one dude, what's his name, Jubal, we probably wouldn't have a guitar. Maybe not have a piano. I don't know. It's got strings too. They did all that. Now go over to chapter 5. Now, notice all of these people in chapter 4 we just read about, all they thought about was what? Material things. Their emphasis was really, their emphasis in life was on things, on stuff, earthly desires. And by the way, they all perished in the flood, and so did their junk. It all perished in the flood. Now, chapter 5, in a short 24 verses, if you read these verses, and we're not going to read them all because there's a bunch of them, it never mentions anything about them inventing anything. I'm going to be honest with you. They had sheep. I would imagine they had cattle. But their emphasis was not on all this earthly stuff. Their emphasis would have been on God. By the way, Adam knew his wife, the end of chapter 4. They had a son named Seth. And after Seth was born, it says, then men began to call on God. Why is that? Because Abel was dead. He was the only one called on God. Cain and his offspring didn't want anything to do with God. They are what we call the ungodly line of human beings. They just went through and all they cared about was their stuff. That's it. They just cared about their stuff. Seth's line is what we call the godly line, and they cared about God because it says they began to call on God. But I want you to notice one thing. In 24 short verses, the word lived is 15 times in those few verses. But you never saw Jubal. It didn't say, well, he lived, blah, 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 blah. Because he wasn't living. He was just alive. The only difference between him and somebody in the graveyard is he could talk and he still had a chance to change his mind. He still had the opportunity to repent. These guys all lived a life. You cannot begin to live a life if you do not have your priorities right. For number one, your priority has to be that you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior. You may exist, but you've got a dead spirit. And a dead spirit is going to send you to hell. You're going to die in your sins and you're going to die and go to a place called hell. We've got to have a quickened spirit, that is being born again, before we can truly live. Basically, we're just alive. We're just existing. That's all we're doing. We're just existing. You ever just felt like, well, I'm just barely hanging on. I'm just existing. That's the way unsaved people are. People that do not know the Lord Jesus as their Savior, yes, they're here. They're walking around. They got skin, blood flowing through their veins. But they have a dead spirit and they are just alive. See, they're not living. They don't know the joy of understanding in their heart that, hey, when I die, I'm going to heaven. While I'm living here on earth, the most important thing on this face of this earth is that my children understand who God is and understand what Jesus done. That my children understand we ought to be doing everything we possibly can to be in the house of the Lord because Jesus died for the church. It says He shed His blood for the church. If Jesus shed His blood for the church, then by God I ought to be here. And I ought to raise my children in church. I ought to pray with my children. I ought to read the Bible with my children. I ought to emphasize that Jesus Christ is more important than anything that you can think of. Nothing should take that spot. That's what these guys were. That's why it says they lived 300 years. They lived 600 years. They lived 900 years. They lived. And they're still living. They're with the Lord. You see, you're not truly living until you're born again. Not one time does it mention worldly things in there. These people, their emphasis was on the Lord. Now, questions. I like questions. What's your emphasis on? Think about it. What's your emphasis on? Really, what is your emphasis on? What's your children's emphasis on? All flipping day long. My phone, if I want to tear it up, I will. Oh, they give me a new one. I got insurance. This is true. I've seen three teenagers walking down the street yesterday morning, I believe it was. And they got to the edge of the street, sidewalk, to cross the street. It is a good thing I'm saved. Because I'd like to take out a few just to prove to people, listen, when you get to the edge of the street, you're supposed to go, oh, it's clear. Walking through a grocery store, you see them, there was Mom. They're walking along. Oh, and they're in a restaurant a few days ago. I sat in the restaurant and the whole entire family, my gosh, they were all like this. Oh, if I'd have been the waiter, I'd have walked up there and poured coffee right in the middle of the table. Is that where you wanted it? They'd have fired me the first 2 minutes. Now, I will. I'll be at the house and I'll pick up my phone and I'll open it up and I'll, if it goes boop, I don't run grab it, but I will eventually go look and it's like, no, I'll talk to him later. Rudeness in our world today. But what's this do? What's the main thing it does for our children and adults? It keeps us from communicating with anyone. That's exactly what it does. Oh, we're communicating. I'm communicating with some dingbat who lives 500 miles from me. That's what I'm doing. But I'm not communicating with the people that are around me. It takes away being a person and it takes away being decent to people and it stops the possibility of a conversation that could lead to one getting saved. Oh, I do it by text. Bless your heart. So what's your children's emphasis on? Maybe your children's emphasis on, I'm going to be a doctor. That's a good thing to be, if you're going to be a good one. Don't be a brain. Some of them around here, I don't want you being brain surgeon. Now, you may change later, but right now, no. Look, I could have been a brain surgeon. Listen, Their emphasis is on what? It should be on Jesus. What Jesus. I'm going to be a doctor, or I'm going to be a lawyer, or I'm going to be, prerequisite to being a lawyer, you got to lie. Kind of like a politician. I'm going to do all this. Okay, I get it. I'm going to do all this if that's what the Lord wants. I'm going to play a guitar and be famous if that's what the Lord wants. I'm going to be a doctor. I'm going to be a school teacher. I'm going to be a parent if that's what the Lord wants. The Lord may not want you being a parent. I wouldn't want certain people I know being my parent. I've watched some people, listen, they can't take care of a dog. They sure ain't going to be able to take care of a kid. They may not need to be a parent right now. Lord's got to work with them. At one time, I didn't need to be a parent. Some people think I still don't. But anyway, Lord willing, that's what it ought to be. Are you living or just alive? Are you seriously living for the Lord? Or are you just meandering around? Because I'm saved, so I'm living. Well, not necessarily. You can be saved and not be living the way you ought to, not have the joy and not have the peace. I'm going to be honest with you. When you are not obeying God, you are enemies of God. Well, I'm a child of God, but you still his enemy. I have been an enemy of my dad, but that didn't make me not his son. Our relationship wasn't good. And one of these days, the Lord's going to pop through the sky and he's going to say, come up in there. And you're going to be like, oh, I meant to straighten some stuff out. Don't miss tonight. Or I don't know. We'll see what the Lord, I'm going to preach it if that's what the Lord wants. Laying up treasures or working for temporal things. What's more important, laying up treasures in heaven or all the temporal junk? In 100 years, the only thing that will matter is what treasures you stored up in heaven. Listen, in 100 years, B.B. King. I like B.B. King. Man can play the blues. Eric Clapton. Tear it up. Stevie Ray Vaughan. If any of them saved, and I've read about B.B. King, he's probably in heaven. Wow, he was a filthy individual. I don't know. I didn't live near him. I know what I read about him. Eric Clapton says he is. I do know a little more about his life than what I should because I watched... I read a deal on him about the 12-bar blues, and it was some rough stuff. He claims he knows the Lord. Hey, amen. I don't know about Stevie Ray. I never really, but I'll tell you this. If they did make it to heaven, the Lord didn't say, man, you could tear that thing up. You done good. Wasn't no concern. What was a concern is how many people did you lead to the Lord? How many people did you set the right example for? What about your own children? Did you set that example for your own children? That's the stuff. What did you do for me? Were you faithful to me like I've been faithful to you? Has Jesus never been has he ever been unfaithful to you? No, but you know what? We're unfaithful to him. That's like going, spitting in his face. That's sad. You see, in 100 years, the only thing that's going to matter is what you did for the Lord. Now, I'm going to end this. I really am. Yeah, won't go no further. Instead of trying to keep up with the neighbors, or as Waylon's song was, keeping up with the Joneses. 2-car garage and we're still building on. We need to be building a relationship with the Lord Jesus. Because in 100 years, you'll be glad you did. Because the rest of it ain't going with us. Let's stand. Have an invitation. Every head bowed and every eye closed this morning. As Sister Diane plays, I want you to seriously think about your life. First off, do you know that you're going to heaven? Seriously, do you know you're going to heaven? If you do, hey, amen, praise God. But my next question is, are you really living your life, or are you just alive? You're just existing. You're just here, and you know you're going to heaven. I know I am, but I'm doing it for me. I'm just making sure that my children's going to have better than I had. Problem is, it don't work that way. The best thing you can do for your child is be the godly example that Christ has asked you to be. The best thing you can do for your husband, for your wife, for your friends, your neighbors, is be what Christ has asked you to be. Truly live for the Lord while we have the opportunity. Because one day, that opportunity is going to cease to be there. And you're going to be thinking, man, only I could have. I talked to a lady not long ago. She's in the process of dying. Well, we all are, but she's been told you don't have that long. You know what her main thing was? I hope I have been a light for people to see Christ in me. She said, but I wasn't always that away. She said, I got a lot to ask forgiveness for. She said, and I hope the Lord gives me the time to be that light. But see, you don't have to wait till your very last days. You can do it right now. Just ask the Lord to help you to be what He would have you to be. And He will. As Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Appreciate your attention and attendance today. Hope the message helped you some way, form, or fashion. I'll leave that in the Lord.